This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Science Notes, a program on Otago Access Radio, brought to you by the Science News and Promotion Group at the University of Otago. Join me, Dave McMorran, as I chat with graduate science students. We'll find out about their research, why they do science at all, and what music they enjoy. Science Notes, Thursdays from 6:30 till 7 p.m. only on Otago Access Radio. Well, good evening and welcome to Science Notes again. Excuse me. Welcome to Science Notes for another week. My name's Dave McMorran. And this week we have Sian Milliken as a guest. Hi, Sian.
Hi.
So Sian is doing something called a postgraduate diploma in ecology. So that's a little bit more imaginative than some of the people that we have on the show. And so we're going to be talking tonight about what she's been doing for her research. Is it a one-year research thing for
it is,
PG?
It is 1 year. PG Dip?
Yeah, so a year of research in ecology. But we'll start, as we do, with the first bit of music that that Sian's brought in, and that is...
Oh, what are we going to pick? We're going to do Justin Bieber, Peaches, is today's one.
Okay, here we go.
I got my peaches out in Georgia. Oh yeah. I get my from California. That's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it. And I see you. Oh. The way I breathe you in. Hey. It's the texture of your skin. I wanna wrap my arms around you, baby, never let you go. Oh. And I see you. There's nothing like your touch. It's the way you lift me up. I'll be right here with you till the end. I got my peaches out in Georgia. Oh yeah. I get my from California. That's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
You ain't sure yet, but I'm for ya. All I could want, all I could wish for. Nights alone that we miss more. The days we save as souvenirs. There's no time, I wanna make more time and give you my whole life. I left my girl, I'm in my Yorker. Hate to leave her, call it torture. Remember when I couldn't hold her. Left her baggage for a mover.
I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah. I get my wife from California, that's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
I get the feeling, so I'm sure. And in my name because I'm yours. I can't pretend, I can't ignore you right from me. Don't think you wanna know just where I've been. Oh, don't be distracted. The one I need is right in my arms. Your kisses taste the sweetest with mine. And I'll be right here with you till the end.
I got my Georgia, oh yeah. I get my from California, that's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it. I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah. I get my from California, that's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. I get my light right from the source, yeah, yeah. I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah. I get my from California, that's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. My light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it. I got my peaches out in Georgia, oh yeah. I get my wife from California, that's that. I took my chick up to the north, yeah. I get my light right from the source, yeah. Yeah, that's it.
You're listening to Science Notes on Otago Access Radio 105.4 FM, where this week we're talking to Sian Milliken, who has been doing a PG Dip, a postgraduate diploma in science. So given that it's a one-year research thing, then this must be your year, so you're about sort of halfway through the research, right?
Yeah. Oh, we are too. Don't tell me
sorry.
That.
Sorry, it's almost May, yes. So how was it that you ended up doing a PG Dip?
Oh, long story. Not really, but I want to do my master's.
Yep.
Basically, so if I pass this year, I get to do my master's by thesis only.
Right.
Next year.
It's kind of an Otago thing, isn't it? You can either do the master's as a 2-year thing or 2 1-year things.
Yeah, which
and
I
you're
was like
doing it that way.
Yeah, which I never knew.
Yeah.
Like, ever, because I did my undergrad in Waikato, so Waikato Uni.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm fresh for the year. And I Googled it. Well, no, I didn't. I emailed somebody.
Yeah.
And I was basically like, I'd really like to do my master's. How can I do it? And then it popped up as an option.
Right.
And I was like, whoa.
So what was your degree in? Up in the Tron.
I'm thinking hard right now. Biotechnology.
Biotechnology. So sort of related.
So used to say ecology.
So now you're doing ecology, and ecology is kind of like it's not really a department at Otago. It's kind of like a part of zoology. But you're specifically interested, I suppose, in not so much the creatures, but the creatures in a context in where they live. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It's actually a win-win for me that ecology is under zoology. Because when I was looking at doing, a PG Dip or a Masters, I was like, so I couldn't decide out of the two. And I was like, okay, I'll go with ecology. And then I found out my supervisor is zoology, so therefore I'm under zoology.
Yep.
And I was like, look at that.
It all works.
It's perfect. But yeah, I'm interested in food webs, the whole process, not just one creature.
Yeah. We've had lots of zoology people on over the years on the show, and they've all got their own little creature that they care about. But you're sort of slightly more bigger picture than that.
Yeah, I'd love to have my own creature. But yeah, it's a bigger picture. The whole family.
So, but that said, you are actually focusing, you've got a particular critter that you're studying and as a way to study this web, and your critter is?
Yeah, oh, cockles.
Cockles.
Yes.
So for those who perhaps are maybe listening from overseas, in a New Zealand context, what is a cockle?
Oh, a cockle is a bivalve. If you want to describe it, it's actually a type of clam.
Yeah.
It is a type of clam, so it looks basically looks like a clam, so the rough outside with the ribs, but the difference with a cockle is when you crack it open, it has that beautiful purple inside, and it's like, it's stunning, and
yep.
It's also a lot smaller, and they're everywhere in Otago.
Mm.
I was released, like, I'm from up north,
yep.
And they're like, oh, not, I can't find them that easily, and then I come down here, and they're everywhere.
And is that just because they prefer to live in the South Island, where it's a bit colder? Or is it because something's going on up north that means that there's less of them?
Yeah, I would say both.
Yeah.
They're not always in every bay in the North Island, but they would be. Basically, yeah, they're very, like, prone to pollution.
Yeah.
People also don't want on their beautiful beaches lots of cockles with their sharp shells, so dig those out. But cockles are very... If you tell them to go away, they won't come back.
Right.
They're happy with, okay, bye.
If you displease them.
you displease them, they will leave.
But you eat them? The food?
Yeah, you can eat them. Yeah, for sure. They're really popular with iwi, like mussel, cockle, fritters, anything like that. They love to eat.
Right.
They're really expensive in Hamilton.
Yeah.
Like, really expensive. And then you come down here and I was like, okay, I'll get a handful, fly back up.
Make some money on the side.
Make some money.
So in particular then, what you're interested in, according to the notes that you've sent me, is the way that the cockles around Dunedin are coping with a particular sort of pollution.
Yes, so I'm doing microplastics and parasites in cockles and the correlation between the two. So yeah, basically if microplastics affect the parasitism of the cockle.
Yep.
Yeah, because cockles naturally have parasites.
Yep.
It's their thing. Lots of marine mammals do, every fish, they all have parasites. And basically we're seeing over the years increased parasites, and we want to know why. And I've decided to do microplastics.
Right, to see if that's part of why it is.
Yeah.
So are the parasites bad for the cockles, or is it one of these interesting symbiotic type things?
No, they are bad. They like bury in, cockles have that muscular foot, that little tongue,
yep,
the pink little tongue that helps them bury. They bury into there and they make these little cysts, like these little, they actually look, they look quite pretty almost. They're like little cysts and they live in there. And that's it, they just live in there. But once the cockle gets too many, it can't bury anymore.
Because its foot stops working.
Yeah, basically.
Right.
Because it's all jammed up.
Yep.
And then
yep.
yeah, it can't bury, then done, eaten. So it is
right. So the cockles burying themselves is a defense mechanism against their predators.
Yeah.
And if they can't do that, then they just get
easy pickings
by fish or birds
oyster catchers.
Yeah.
They're like those birds with the really long beaks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also, it might sound weird, but whelks, the type of snail.
Right.
They travel along the surface and they look for like any little damaged cockle. And if you're slightly damaged, like you can't close your mouth because you have too many parasites, they're in.
Right.
And they eat you.
It's a harsh life.
And it's a harsh life, isn't it?
So then the parasitism is increasing. Is this a general thing, or is this something particular to Dunedin, or is this all cockles?
I think it is a general.
Yeah.
It will be a general. I've only obviously looked in papers of New Zealand
orders
saying that, yeah.
And so your hypothesis then, if you like, is that it's the microplastics which they're becoming exposed to, which is making them more susceptible.
Yes.
Right.
More susceptible to parasite. And therefore, my overarching question, like the paradigm would be, is a human influence source affecting the parasite? There's a word for that, anthropogenic? I just can't say
it. So then, what is a microplastic?
Oh, a microplastic is anything under 5 millimetres. So basically those really, really small degraded plastics. Because we all, you know, plastic goes in the ocean and we all talk about it, but you only see those big plastics.
Yeah.
So once they break down, they turn to these little plastics, microplastics, and then they get, it's even worse because they get filtered through gills, through lungs, and then they inhale them other ways, not just eating them. Not eating the straw, but inhaling the straw.
Inhaling the tiny pieces. Your notes actually suggested less than 5 millimetres. 5 millimetres seems quite big to me, but then I'm a chemist. I have a different understanding of what micro means. But they can be very small. I mean, small enough that you can't see, really.
Yeah, most of them are in the UM, yeah.
Yeah.
Very small.
But still big enough that they're going to potentially cause grief to things that are filter feeders and stuff that'll clog up.
Yeah.
And so for the cockles, is it like that as they're trying to eat or trying to filter water, they end up getting the plastics inside them that way?
Yeah, well, hopefully, in my hypothesis. But yeah, so they do filter feed, and they're not selective. This whatever comes their way, they suck it up.
Yep.
So therefore, yeah, they suck up microplastics. I'm unsure yet of how many microplastics. It could be really little, could be a lot. But yeah, they do suck them up because it's shown in other papers of mussels. People are very interested in mussels because big eaters, obviously, we're very interested. And they've shown to have microplastics. So therefore, a cockle should also have a decent amount of plastic.
Right. And so what you're doing then is you're comparing cockles from two different places.
Yeah, for people that aren't from Dunedin, I've chosen Company Bay, which is my... was supposed to be degraded site, and that's along that new, was it out to Portobello? It's along the new Reader Highway that they've redone.
Which is amazing.
Yeah, definitely
it's so
amazing.
Nice down there now. So this is in the Otago Harbour.
Yeah.
So it's 5 km from the middle of town?
Yeah, it's not far.
Not very far, yeah.
Roadwork's still ongoing
now.
They're still finishing it very close to my site, actually. I was waiting at Roadworks looking at it.
Yeah.
So it's perfect for like silt, microplastic, anything.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. And then I've chosen Blueskin Bay, which is a decent away from the city, a decent like couple bays, and it's beautiful.
Mm.
It's stunning and pristine, and there's only like a couple houses with little shacks, and it's nice.
It is nice there.
Nice, lots of birds.
Yeah. So it's nice to have an excuse to go somewhere nice for your field work.
Yeah, exactly. Those are my two sites.
So then the idea is you go out to these and you collect cockles. So you go out with a spade and a bucket and pick some up. And
I actually went out just me and my supervisor. It was really nerve-wracking, I must admit. I was like, oh, hi. Had to make chat. But yeah, so yeah, spade and a bucket.
Yep.
And then within different plots, obviously along the beach, we took 100 from each site, we tried to find them reasonably the same size.
Yep.
Like, kind of, and healthy looking, and scooped them up, also with sediment samples from each
plot. Yeah. So you can study plastics that might be in the sediment as well as the plastics that might be in the cockles.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And then back to the lab.
Yeah, back to the lab, and I've started with parasites first. So I've actually completely, I've done all that now. So basically, I got, it's a bit like barbaric, but obviously you crack them open.
Yep.
And then you cut off their little foot,
yep,
where all the parasites are. And you put them in, like, there's no name for it. It was kind of made for this purpose, but two big bits of glass, and you, like, squish it really, really thin.
And you sort of squeeze the parasites out.
Squeeze, and then you look under the microscope, and yeah, you count.
Right.
You count through a grid, and then I've tallied it all up for each site. And then, yeah. And I've also had to, like, and then I've scooped the rest of the cockle and put them on their little, named them, put them in their own individual little jars.
So So you said you take 100 from each site. So 100, sorry, from Blueskin Bay and 100 from Company Bay.
Yeah.
And then for each of them, you have to squeeze the foot till all the little parasites squeeze out.
Yeah.
And then under a microscope and count them all.
Yeah.
So that seems like a lot of work.
I did it really fast, but I definitely, like, did some complaining.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I suppose you get used to it. You get better at it.
Yeah.
Important life skills.
That's true. Better at it.
And then the plastics. So how do we determine how much plastic there might be in the cockle?
I've yet to do my plastic, but I at least know the method.
Right.
But it's out in the Portobello lab of the Otago Uni, which is stunning. It's like out on the peninsula, gorgeous. What a place to what a place to work. So you go out there, and basically I've chosen to digest them. So
right.
Basically I need to get the little, each little cockle body with KOAH, I need to digest them down to basically nothing.
Yep.
And then filter them through. And through that, and then I need to do a density separator, because obviously sand looks like plastic.
Mm. And there'll be sand in them.
Yes.
Because that's kind of the way they roll.
Yeah, lots of sand. Well, you hope not.
So you sort of milkshake up all the the tissuey part, the fleshy parts, and then you're left with a lot of undissolved stuff, which is the plastic and the sand, and then you kind of float the plastic off.
Yeah, actually it's just using salt.
Yeah.
Which is, just using salt, filter it off. Tip it out, and then use a, it's actually just a, you'd know, a Buchner funnel, just like chemistry, chuck it through, and then through that dry the little bit of paper, and then, look under the microscope. But then I have another aspect, is I need to be able to identify, I need to educate myself on how to identify different types of plastics, like fibrous, or, and make sure it's not sand, because sand will still get through, it'll fight its way.
That also seems like work.
Yeah.
So are you're gonna try and quantify how much plastic by weighing how much you've filtered off, or just by going and counting the little pieces on the paper?
It'll be counting.
Right.
So.
This also sounds like work.
Yeah. So like for less work, you hope there's less, but for good write up, you hope with more.
Yeah.
Then types, and probably take photos to show which types of plastic and
Goodness. Has this sort of study been done anywhere else on other species?
Of the bivalve family, it's only been done on mussels.
Right.
Mussels are the only ones that I know of that have had microplastic being looked at them. But that's just purely for the microplastics, not correlating with anything. And then everything else, fish are a big one.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of people have done fish. Like, actually, like the lady that even very nicely showed me how to do a lot of stuff in the lab, she did fish.
Yeah. And is there lots of plastics in? I mean, is it species specific, or is it just generally lots in them these days because there's just so much plastic around?
Yeah, it is species specific.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did a fish that, I forgot what it's called, but she did a fish, obviously, that eats off the ground, which is going to have more microplastics because they do sink to the floor.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is species specific.
The mussel thing, I suppose, is important because there's such a big industry in mussel farming.
We love them, don't we?
Yeah, so you want to... I mean, I suppose it's a problem, is it, to have microplastics in the mussels if you're going to eat them? Because it'd be a problem for us.
It will be a problem for us. I don't think we know how much of a problem for us. Well, obviously, pests like plastics are estrogenic. You don't want them in us.
The stuff in them that can be bad,
Hopefully we... You know, get rid of them out of our bodies, but maybe one day is too much.
Yes, it's not that we're necessarily going to get parasites in our feet, but you don't know, because the plastics have only been around for a relatively short amount of time.
Yeah,
and
Yeah, it takes so long for like the plastic to degrade. It's not that long since we've had these little plastics.
Yeah. And if they're things which are going to take decades to have an effect, then it's going to be a long time before we really know.
Yeah, that's all. I feel very important.
No, it's important stuff that you're doing because, you know, you don't know how these things affect things until you look. So
So we'll see. We'll see what bay.
Yep.
See how well Dunedin's doing in our plastics.
Yep. Is there much of a difference? You said that you've done the parasites. Is there much of a difference in the parasites between the two sites?
Oh, yes.
So more in the degraded site.
Yes, our degraded site, the company bay. Oh, they had way more. I had up to like 200 parasites in one cockle, which displeased me while counting. But it was intense. And then Blueskin Bay, I could have a range of maybe like 40, max 100.
Yep.
So there was like the degraded site had such a range. I couldn't believe it. Compared to the nice site.
Mm. And what are the parasites? Are they like little worms or something?
They're a type of trematode. Oh, never said that out loud. and they are a type of flatworm.
Right.
So you can actually see them.
Yeah.
You can see them like under the microscope in their little house they've built in there. It's a little flatworm. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, I know. Very gorgeous. I looked at a compound microscope. Mistake. Mistake. I could have lived without it.
So, you said at the start, so this is a PG dip, so this is 1 year, and then the plan is to do a master's.
Yes.
So, more of the same, or?
I can choose.
Yeah.
I've had, my supervisor will be, hopefully, he will be happy with me to carry on with him, so I could even carry on with him, choose a different subject, or I could make the cockle parasites bigger.
Yep.
Like I could do different bays, or factor different things into it, maybe like temperature or weather, and do lots of different samples. Yeah, I could either make it bigger or just...
I mean, cause I suppose change. Another obvious thing for down this part of the world would be to maybe extend it to looking at oysters.
That's true. There's
plenty of oysters down south from here that...
We love our oysters too.
Well, indeed, yeah. I mean, if the plastics are a concern in the mussels, they're presumably a concern in the oysters as well. Yeah. So,
what's the company we have in Dunedin? That's the big one for... harvesting cockles and oysters. Oh, I forgot.
No, don't know. Sorry.
Darn. I was really hoping. I was hoping if I did my master's, I could ask them to, sponsor me.
There you go.
I was like, you guys want to see if there's plastic in your shellfish?
Well, we're almost out of time. Thank you for coming along and telling us about what you've been up to. And all the best for the rest of the year, the rest of the counting and milkshaking and all the stuff that you've got to do to these poor creatures.
Delicious.
And thank you everyone out there for listening. And I'll just remind you that you can listen to this show again next week at the same time and then at your leisure as a podcast from the Otago Access Radio website, which is www.oir.org.nz. We will finish with Sian's second piece of music, which is...
Oh, let's see. Shall we go Doja Cat or Little Nut? We'll go this one.
Okay.
This will be our song.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Like visit too, and when we French refresh, give me two. When I thick lip gloss, hickeys too. Kiss me.
Science Notes, a program on Otago Access Radio, brought to you by the Science News and Promotion Group at the University of Otago. Join me, Dave McMorrin, as I chat with graduate science students. We'll find out about their research, why they do science at all, and what music they enjoy. Science Notes, Thursdays from 6:30 till 7 p.m, only on Otago Access Radio.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.